And welcome back on KODY, 1240 AM at 106.1 FM. Program Director and News Director Tristan Winder. Glad to sit down with Dr. John Deloney of Ramsey Solutions. John, so good to talk to you. Appreciate you taking some time for us.
You too, my brother. How's it going?
I can't complain. You know, we were talking off the air a little bit about the weather that we're experiencing. Here in Nebraska, we like to say if you don't like the weather, just wait a few moments and it'll change. And sounds like that's the case in Tennessee for you.
Exactly. Same team on that one.
Now, Dr. Deloney, let's talk a little bit about your background for those that aren't familiar with you and Ramsey Solutions. Can you tell us how long have you been with Dave & Company?
I am about 2.5 years in now. About 2 years in, I think. It's all running together on me. And before that, I spent the last 17, 18 years working in higher education and several of those years doing crisis response with local police departments. So, most of my career in education as a dean of students and a professor, helping people when things had just fallen apart, and then working with my local community as well.
What originally led you to Ramsey Solutions, Dr. Deloney?
Oh, it's one of those stories for the ages. I was given a talk to a room full of about 1,100, about 1,000 parents and new students during an orientation, and I didn't have my old notes, and so I kind of went with my gut and let one rip, and I went about 20 minutes over, and it was a speech for the ages, if you will. But Dave Ramsey's executive vice president was dropping her daughter off, and she was in the audience, and she stood up and said, "I'm going to hire that guy," and the rest is history.
Now, John, you often serve as a co-host along with Dave, George Camel, and many other guys, and host the show yourself from time to time as well.
Yes, it's been a baptism into the world of radio and podcasting. I spent most of my life avoiding radios and video recorders of any kind, and here we are. This is my full-time job, so my friends love getting a kick out of that.
Best-selling author on that title as well. 2020, you released a book with Redefining Anxiety, and what a timely release that book was.
Yeah, I've been talking with young people and their families and parents and communities for years about anxiety, and just right place at right time to be able to take that message to a national audience.
Now, John, tell us about your current book that's coming out here in the near future and already out for some pre-order as well, with Own Your Past, Change Your Future.
Yeah, it's really 10 years in the making. It's the story of me being really successful, getting my big first fancy PhD. By the way, there's nothing more annoying than somebody who just gets their first graduate degree and wants to tell everybody about it. I was that guy. And I was fancy pants with my degrees and fancy pants with my job, and my wife was doing great. We were making more money than our family knew what to do with. We had a little kid. And I was on a treadmill to try to win the world. And over time, my body said, "I'm out." And it really parallels with what's been going on with our country the last decade. What's changed? Why is all of my friends falling apart? Marriage is struggling. Business is struggling. And ultimately, it landed on two things. We get two operations for moving through the world these days. One is your feelings are everything. What do you feel? How does that feel? You make up your truth as you go along. And because you'll never be enough, because you're only going to be the worst thing that ever happened to you, the worst thing you've ever done, because you'll always be a survivor of some sort, you need somebody to come in and save you. Not a friend or a community, but you need a government, you need a overlord to come in and bail you out because you're broken, that's all you'll ever be. The other path we've been given is forget your feelings. In fact, if you feel you have a character issue, you're weak, you're a coward. It's about strength and grinding it and crushing it and achievement and how much money can you make and I'm calling nonsense on both of those. Nonsense from a physiological and biochemical, from neuroscience, all the way down to the way our ancient ancestors lived. And this book is really a new third way, which is you have to take ownership of what happened in your past, the stories you were told, the stories you were born into, the stories about the things you did, and then you have to decide, what do I do? What comes next? And then the back half of this book is walking us through, how do we heal from trauma? How do we take back our lives? How do we, yes, they treated me differently because of my skin color, and I hate that this is the way this is set up, but what do I do tomorrow? I hate that I was a survivor of this or that mom passed away. what do I do now? And it walks us through, what do we do next?
And Dr. Deloney, in some of the situations that you just previewed, you could relate those to trauma situations in a lot of ways. So in the book, you really dive into trauma and the misconceptions about trauma in today's world.
Yeah, trauma is just such a becoming a third rail word, because when we think of trauma, we think of the big car wreck or the bomb going off or the planes hitting the towers, and those are wildly traumatic events. But trauma is also cumulative. It's the little thing. It's the mom ignoring the 4-year-old and then the 5-year-old and the 6-year-old because she's too busy scrolling on her phone. And that child needs the regulation of a parent, that needs the attention of a parent, needs the touch of a parent so that their body chemistry works the right way. Or the little traumas, every day I go to work and I don't know if I'm going to get fired, I don't know if I'm going to get fired, I don't know if I'm going to get fired, and our body finally says, hey, I'm out, because I'm only able to deal with one bear at a time, and you keep showing up to a den full of bears every day, right? And so if we step back and look at trauma, not as just the big thing, but as the cumulative things, or even the things that we should have gotten that we didn't, every child should have parents that tell them that they have value, that hold them accountable, that feed them, that give them food, that don't scare them or abuse them, right? If you didn't have a parent telling you that they loved you and that you have value and a role in this family, then our bodies pay the price. And so if you look at trauma through that lens, it is all of us. All of us are living scripts that our bodies have been running for most of our lives. And once you address those stories and then you start deciding, what can I do next? That's when the healing from trauma can actually.
Dr. John Deloney joining us here again on KODY. John, a member of Ramsey Solutions, and we're talking about Own Your Past, Change Your Future, John's book. And Dr. Deloney, let's talk a little bit about grief. You've described grief as the gap between what you would have hoped happened and what actually happened. Can you tell us about some different levels of grief as well and some tips on the grieving process?
And thank you for bringing that up. I think grief is one of the most underappreciated emotions in our current culture. About 150, 200 years ago, we started accelerating trying to solve for comfort. How do we get there faster? How do we make this more comfortable? How do we be a little bit less miserable? And we've come up with some awesome things like leather seats and air conditioners and airplanes and rocket ships. It's all great.
Yes.
But in the process of solving for comfort, we have begun to pathologize anything that makes us feel uncomfortable, like sadness, frustration, devastating grief. And what happens now, we just say, hey, take two of these and we'll see you in the morning, or just watch Netflix, or Amazon just tells me the next thing it thinks I would buy. We have an ecosystem of distraction, and our bodies need the grief. And grief can be my wife just passed away, and I can't breathe for a year, right? And I'm stumbling out of this thing. I need people who love me to rally around me and make sure I'm fed, right, basic grief. But there's also little grief, like, oh, I thought I was going to get this raise, and I'm not. If you wallpaper over that or run to the bar and have 5 drinks, your body's still trying to solve that grief. But now we're creating distance between that solution and our bodies, and that there's always a price to pay. Nowadays, when somebody in our immediate family passes away, in many businesses across the country, you get 3 days off and you got to be back. And if you're an hourly worker, well, that stinks to be you. It's going to cost you something. And if it's a grandparent or a cousin, well, if you got vacation, you can take that, right? We have a culture that sucked grief out of it in lieu of productivity and get back at it. And so I want folks to begin to reincorporate a practice of grief into their lives. We have to acknowledge, I really wanted this to happen, or I thought this was going to happen, and it didn't. I'm going to sit in that for a second. I might journal about that. I might write that down. I might tell that to a therapist or a group of buddies over a poker game. I got to say it out loud. So when it comes to some tips, grief demands a witness. You got to say it out loud, as the great David Kessler says. I got to be around other people and say, hey, I was hoping my dad had 3 more months and he passed. I got married to my wife because I wanted to be with her forever, and she was not supposed to die. No parent is supposed to bury their kids. no kid is supposed to miss their first day of kindergarten because they have COVID, like my daughter did this year. Mm-hmm. That really happened. We had to grieve that as a family. I had to, you know what I mean? We had to sit down and say, this happened. We got to own this. And now what are we going to do next? Right? You got to stop and take some of these moments.
One of the challenges with grieving, though, and with grief in general, is the fact that sometimes we can get stuck in the grief process or stuck on a specific part of it. So how do you encourage individuals to not get stuck in some of the early levels of grief?
I love that question. The first is you can't grieve alone. You got to have people with you. And most of us, when we grieve, we draw the shutters and close the doors. And while grieving, everyone does grief differently. Grief is as unique as a fingerprint, right? Everybody does it differently. A few basic principles apply. You got to have people in your life, and you have to continue with basic, what I call life things. You have to eat. You have to move your body. You have to have some sort of routine, some sort of thing to live for. You've got to make sure your kids are fed, and that's where other people are really going to step in and fill that gap for you, whether they're professionals or whether they are friends and community members or church members. It's when we try to do grief by ourselves, when we try to lock ourselves up, that our bodies begin to spin out and get really anxious, really depressed. It can affect our physiology. It can make us sick. Our bodies demand that we have other people in our lives when we're grieving.
Dr. John Deloney joining us here again on KODY. John, of course, with Ramsey Solutions. We're talking about own your past, change your future. And John, you talked a little bit a few minutes ago about the impact of our thoughts and our situations and the impact that that can have on our bodies. And obviously, that can have an impact on our physical health as well as our mental health.
Man, you're telling me. It was quite the rude awakening when I learned years ago in grad school, wait, what? I can control my thoughts? That's crazy. That sounds like old woo-woo. But it turns out our thoughts are something that it gets outsourced often, so we don't think about them. But we have that voice in our head that just is chattering, running its mouth all day. It never stops. Why did that guy cut me off? I can't believe that. I can't believe my wife just left the shoes there. Why do my kids always? They just never stop. And it's when we begin to take control of our thoughts. We begin to take ownership of those thoughts. It starts with addressing inputs, right? What do I allow into my head all day? Do I ever stop myself and think, no, actually, my wife didn't leave those shoes there just to ruin my day. In fact, she wasn't thinking about me at all. She was thinking about, I've got three kids, and I'm trying to get this kid whose diaper just exploded, right? It has nothing to do with me. And so when you really start to focus on your thoughts, and you write them down, and you demand evidence, is this true? Is this accurate? You have people in your life that you talk to, hey, this is what I keep thinking. I keep thinking that the world's coming to an end. Is this right? And my dad says, well, I used to do nuclear weapon drills when I was in elementary school. And then my granddad says, I fought in a World War II. And you go, okay. Let me dial it back a bit, right? So taking ownership of your thoughts, and here's a beautiful thing. If you will spend 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 3 or 4 months paying attention to your thoughts, writing them down, when those negative thoughts pop in, you say, nope, not doing that today. And I'm going to think about something else that's more beautiful, that's more positive. Your mind will begin to shift its default setting. Mine has shifted so far that my wife has to remind me, hey, this is a bad thing. And I'm like, what? What? So I've spent so much energy looking for beauty, looking for how can I shift my thoughts from worst-case scenarios and catastrophizing all the time to how do I make the most of this mess? How do I love somebody in this hard situation? And I tell you what, it's done my heart rate a lot of good. It's done my sleep a lot of good. It's done my marriage and my friendships and my work relationships a lot of good to focus on what I can control and positive thoughts as opposed to it's all coming down all the time.
Dr. Deloney, if folks want to learn more about what we've talked about today and perhaps they'd like to obtain a copy of Own Your Past, Change Your Future, how can they do so?
Thank you so much. They can go to johndeloney.com or they can go to ramseysolutions.com. And we're running the pre-sale right now. And if you order the book today, if you order the book over the next couple of days, it comes with a free month of online therapy from our friends at BetterHelp. They believe in the book and they stepped up. They didn't want people to get done with the book and say, okay, I'm ready. And I think part of my journey is going to be getting a therapist and then getting on a six-month wait list. So they said, we'll see you within 24, 48 hours.
Wow.
So they stepped up. It comes with an audiobook, all kinds of cool stuff. You can go to Ramsey Solutions or johndeloney.com and get plugged in.
And I think a lot of our listeners might be surprised to talk about some of this mental health stuff in connection with Ramsey Solutions that I think a lot of folks associate with finance, but it all very much ties directly together in a number of aspects.
Yeah, Dave's been saying for years that finance is 20% behavior and 20% numbers, 20% math, and 80% psychology and behavior and relationships. And so he told me, I've been shipping people out to therapists and psychologists and counselors all over the country for 30 years. I finally got my own and brought them in-house. And so, yeah, so much of how we take care of our money has to do with the stories we were born into, the stories we were told about money, about we're just a blue-collar family. We don't buy houses like that. We don't save money like that. Or, no, you got to have a Lexus. If you don't have a Lexus, then you're a loser, right? All these stories that dictate how we do money, and the number one cause of divorce and money fights in marriages is money and money and money and money. And so much of this stuff is intertwined, and that's why Dave and I have such a good time on the Dave Ramsey Show. On the Ramsey Show, is we're talking to people about their relationships and their money and their marriages and their friendships and their work relationships, and it all works together.
Dr. Deloney, anything else you'd like to add today, sir?
No, just to tell you, I'm grateful for you. One thing, let me throw this in there. When people hear the words mental health, they often think, well, I'm not crazy. This book is not for people who are struggling with major schizophrenia or major bipolar disorder, right? Some of the big frightening mental illnesses. This book is for everyone. Mm-hmm. I wrote this book about relationships and mental health. It's not a book of theories. It's a book that anybody who's struggling or knows somebody who's struggling, who wants their marriage to be better, wants their work relationships to be better, wants to reconnect with their in-laws, who just wants to, I've been running low for the last few years, and I don't understand why. I'm anxious about everything. I find myself angry all the time. This book is for you. It's for everybody.
Dr. Deloney, very much appreciate the time. Such a blessing to talk to you, sir, and keep up the great work with you and your colleagues at Ramsey Solutions.
Thank you, Brother Tristan. I'm grateful for you, too, and go Nebraska.
Absolutely. God bless, John. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir.